and appreciate the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter number 34 tonight. Hopefully we can give you something that'll be a blessing to you tonight. The Bible says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho, and the Lord shewed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all of Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea." Verse 3, "And the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." Notice verse number 5, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord." Amen. That's what I want to be tonight, don't you? I want to be a servant of God. Amen. It says that he died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Verse 6, "And he buried him," and he being God, amen, "and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth-peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended." Verse number 9, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, and Moses had laid his hands upon him." Amen. "And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And now there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in the great terror which Moses shewed in the sight of all Israel." Let's pray. Father, as we bow our heads and hearts one more time on this side of eternity, Lord, I'm standing where the arm of the flesh will fail me tonight. God, I have nothing to offer these people. Lord, I have, I'm not smart. I'm not eloquent in speech. Lord, I don't have any kind of degrees. I don't have any formal teaching tonight. But God, I do know you. Amen. I know you in the free pardon of sin. I know you as a father. I know you as a brother. I know you as my kinsman, my near kinsman redeemer tonight. I know you that you love me. I know that you gave yourself for me. And I'm very, very aware tonight that I can do nothing without thy touch. I can do nothing to help anyone save the quickening power of the Holy Ghost be upon us. I ask you now that you'd touch my lips of clay. Speak to me and through me, Lord. Help me to get out of the way that you might have your way. I pray, God, that thy word would find a lodging place in our hearts tonight. I pray that thy people would be encouraged. I pray, Lord, tonight that thy people would be challenged from the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. May the seed of the word of God not fall upon Father, unreceived ground, but Lord, let our hearts be prepared, let our minds be prepared to receive that you have for us tonight. And Lord, I ask you that you'd purge me of any secret sin, any unconfessed sin, Lord, that may be hidden away within me. I pray that you'd cleanse it now in the precious blood of Christ. Empty us of ourselves, empty us, Lord, of any selfishness, any pride, Father, for we have nothing save you tonight. And God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts for just a few minutes. We'll bless you and praise you for all these favors we ask. In Christ's name we pray and plead his blood. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight on this thought: when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way. Amen. And looking out on the congregation, there's young folk, amen, there's children here, and there's some moms and dads here tonight, amen. There's probably most of you's has got a brother or a sister, either alive or passed on, but I see probably some grandparents here tonight, amen, and there's a lot of miles been traveled in this room here tonight, amen. And miles we rack up from the day we're born till the day we draw our last breath. We're always traveling, we're always moving, amen. And Moses here, if you know your Bible any at all, you know that Moses, we just read, he lived 120 years and then he died. No doubt during those 120 years he traveled many miles. We know he traveled several miles with the children of Israel when he led them up out of Egypt, when God chose him to be the prophet, to be the leader, amen, to lead the children of Israel up out of Egypt. We know that there was 40 years in the wilderness that he spent. But before that, we can break his life down, that 120 years. We can break it down into three 40-year segments. His first 40 years were spent in the palace, amen. He had all that this world could offer him. He was placed there in Pharaoh's house, and he had everything at his disposal, amen. And Satan loves to use his mind games, amen, into thinking that we need the things of this world, amen. He wants us to indulge ourselves in the pleasures of this life and not concentrate upon God, not concentrate upon the Word of God. But beloved, God has got us in this world for a reason tonight, but we're, thank God, not of this world. Amen. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. Amen. And one day, after a while, we're going home to meet Him. But the second 40 years were spent on the backside of the desert. Amen. Moses, he was out of circulation, if you will. He was alone and by himself, and there's many, many times in our life that we can find ourselves in this same situation as Moses was when he was on the backside of the desert. Amen. And there's sometimes in our Christian life when God has to take us out of the way. Amen. He has to take us to a place where we're open and receptive to the teachings of the Word of God and to the things that God has desire for us to do according to His will. Amen. God has to take us and set us aside, take us out of circulation, if you will, to be able to be receptive to what He has for our life. And then His last 40 years were spent in the wilderness, amen. And as he was there and he was leading the children of Israel, during these 40 years, the Lord Jesus Christ, no doubt, amen, was able to work in his heart and his life, and the Spirit of God, we know, was able to work in his life. But we know that Israel can be typified as a type of the church, amen, because they're always trying to wander around. We're always trying to go back on what God's done for us, amen. But he was wandering around there in the wilderness for those 40 years. But during that 40-year period, Moses learned to look up. Amen. He learned to look unto God. And that's what my desire for every born-again believer in here tonight, and especially for the lost man, or woman, boy, or girl that may be here tonight, is for us to look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the most important thing that we ever could learn in this life, is that we don't need to look to ourselves, but we need to look to Him. Amen. But the Lord Jesus Christ is gracious to us. He's merciful to us. Amen. And a lot of people, they talk about their birthday. Amen. And I've heard preachers preach, and they've talked in their message about, you know, when it comes down time to die, and there's two important dates on the tombstone, amen, your birth date and then the day that you cross the river, amen, into eternity. And but what about the dash in between, amen? And there's many miles that's been traveled by Moses. It's recorded here in the Word of God. And there's been many details given, and about his struggles and about his humanity, his flesh. He was just a man just like you and I are tonight. He was just flesh and blood. He was flawed. Amen. He was not a perfect man, but he was looking unto the one that was perfect. Amen. But in first of all tonight, looking back on Moses' life, we see the revelation that God presented him in verses 1 through 3. God let him preview of the land that had been promised unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, unto the children of Israel here. And God led him up on top of Mount Pisgah there, and he got up on a top of the mountain so he could see down into the valleys below. And we read it earlier how that he showed him all of the land under the utmost part of the sea. And it goes on there in verse number 3, and it says, to the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. Now, that word Zoar, if you look it up, it means insignificant. Amen. And there's no doubt that many of us can look back on our life, and we can see how we have insignificant things that we've allowed into our lives, things that we've overlooked, things that were small. And most people probably never would have even looked upon this city of Zoar, but the Lord showed it to Moses. Amen. And I see in the scripture here, as God is showing Moses this city of Zoar here, this little place, maybe a little patch of land that might not have been anything to anybody, I see that God is showing us here that no matter how insignificant that we may be, no matter how small we are, no matter how overlooked we are, God still cares about us. Amen. It might not be on the map of mankind. There may not be too many people that are searching and looking our direction, but thank God the Lord is. Amen. And God, He always cares about His own. Amen. He's always making, beloved, much about the saints of God, because He loves us. And we need to be thankful. We need to be praising Him, amen, for what He's given us, for even in our insignificance, when we're nothing, when we're nobody, amen, when we think nobody cares and we mean nothing to anyone, we do mean something to God, amen. But he saw the preview of the promised land, and he went up unafraid to meet death, amen. Nowhere in this scripture here does it even insinuate that Moses was afraid to die. Amen. And we know that he's lived a good life. Amen. That the Lord's taken care of him, and that God's mercy has overshadowed him. That he probably deserved to, just like us all, amen, to suffer more than he had, amen, because of our disobedience and because of our lack of submitting to the will of God, the times in our life. No doubt we definitely do not get what we deserve, but there's been many saints, amen, throughout the Word of God who has been able to pull back the curtain, the veil of eternity, amen, and to see into it. We know that as they were there in the book of Acts, they were stoning Stephen, amen. We know that the Bible teaches us that Stephen was able to see into heaven, and he said that he seen the Lord standing, amen, by the throne of God. And we know that God allows people. I've heard of people that was passing on and crossing over, saved folk, amen, and lost folk alike. The saved folk, they could see the angels, amen. They could see the Lord Jesus Christ and see His presence, amen, and making it a testimony that it's real, that the hereafter is real, that it was a revelation, amen. And we know that the Apostle Paul, the Bible teaches us that as he was stoned and left for dead there at Lystra, amen, that he was called up into the third heaven, amen. And it was such a miraculous vision that Paul had. It was 14 years before he could even speak about it, amen. He said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I cannot say, amen. He didn't know, but God called him up, amen, and he showed him a vision of heaven, amen, and it wasn't his time. And then there's testimony after testimony throughout the Scripture, amen, that God allows people to see, beloved, their eternal destiny, amen. And but Moses, he saw three things here. In the first three verses, he saw a land of rest after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen. And although God had already warned him, amen, after he smote the rock the second time that he wasn't going to be able to enter into the promised land, he still was comforted because he knew God was going to keep his promise, amen, unto the children of Israel. And Moses could die in peace, and he could die having known that he had gone the last mile of the way, and even though that he had been disobedient, that God was still going to keep his word to the children of Israel. Amen. May I submit to you tonight that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, if you're a child of God tonight, the promises of God, they're going to stand for all time and eternity. Amen. God's not going to back up and renege on a promise that He made. Amen. He's not going to take something away from you that He has promised you. Amen. And God done exactly what He did, or what He said He was going to do. He brought the children of Israel into a place of rest. Amen. And he done just exactly unto Moses as he said he was going to do unto Moses. And he killed Moses on top of the mountain there, and he buried him where no man ever knew. Amen. God's truth is going to prevail no matter what you and I say, no matter what the world says. Amen. When we've gone the last mile of the way, friend, you can bet your bottom dollar that this word is going to be fulfilled. Amen. God's going to fulfill every jot, every tittle, every line, every word. Amen. Every semicolon, every period, every mark of punctuation. Amen. Every word is going to be fulfilled, not only was it a land of rest after wandering 40 years in the wilderness, but it was a land of plenty that flowed with milk and honey. Amen. No doubt in Moses' heart, he was overjoyed and excited for those people whom he had walked with and talked with and prayed with, and he had been an intercessor so many times. He had prayed unto God and asked God to slow his hand of wrath, amen, and to bring mercy upon the children of Israel instead of judgment. Not only was it a land of plenty, flowing with milk and honey, but it was a land of victory. Amen. It's a land where God allowed Joshua to lead the children of Israel into battle against the enemies of the Jew. Amen. And he gave them victory over the giants. He gave them victory over those who meant harm unto Israel. Amen. God gave victory unto them. Because of Moses' faithfulness, God allowed him to see these visions and see these things that were coming to pass. In verses 1 through 3, we see the revelation, but in verse number 4, we see regret. Amen. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither." Amen. And we can see regret, amen, as it were, in the eyes of Moses. Amen. The Lord said, you're not going to go over. And I believe that Moses, amen, that he was brought back, amen, in his remembrance, the things, beloved, that that had caused him to not inherit this land with the other children of Israel. I believe that in his regret, amen, he remembered killing that Egyptian man, amen. And I believe that he regretted that he had done that. I believe that he regretted marrying out of the will of God, marrying that woman from Ethiopia, amen. Marrying according to against what God's law said, and taking him a wife outside, amen, of the nation which God had placed him in. I believe that he had regret in smiting that rock that second time, amen. He was looking back over his life, and when he came to this last mile of the way, I believe that he was filled with several pieces of his mind, pieces of memory, amen, that brought deep regret and deep sorrow in his heart. And I believe that there's four of the saddest words that we could ever pronounce in this life to anybody, amen, four saddest words we could ever, beloved, speak from our lips, it might have been, amen. What might have been? Amen. What about when we come to the last mile of our life, and we've come to the last mile of the way, and we stand, if God so graciously grants us a time to look back and reflect on our life, amen, will we have a time of regret? There's no doubt in my mind the answer to that, to every one of us, is yes. Amen. We missed opportunities that we've just destroyed and has fell by the wayside, Brother Vannoy, things that we could have done for God, that we, whether it's being lackadaisical in our Christian walk, or whether it's just pure slothfulness, amen, and laziness, there's no doubt going to be regrets in our life. But looking at Moses here, no doubt he had regrets. But in verses 5 through 7, we can see the reckoning hand of God. And first of all, we see that Moses there, amen, according to the word of the Lord in verse number 5, he died. Amen. God is always going to come and bring to fruition everything that He speaks, everything that He pronounces, it's coming to pass. But we see also, not only did God have Moses to die here, but God took care of his funeral. Amen. It says, and He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Amen. I mean, that would probably be one of the greatest funerals that ever went down in history, to have God Himself to bury you. Amen. I mean, that speaks volumes to the man that Moses was, that God loved Moses enough to personally take his body, amen, and place it into a sepulcher and seal it up, amen, and set that hope chest, amen, for the day that Moses would raise in the resurrection, amen, that he buried his own servant, amen. What a testimony that he had such an effect on God. But Moses, he died with no physical effects, amen, or no physical defects. Notice there, beloved, it says that in verse number 7, that he was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was healthy, amen. I believe that when God got done showing him the valley and all the land that Israel was going to inhabit, amen, and the promise be fulfilled of what God was getting ready to do through His servant Joshua, amen, and to the children of Israel, I believe after they got done talking and God got done showing him everything that he had worked for them 120 years, and everything that he had labored for, all the prayer and the supplication that he had offered up for Israel, amen. He was their pastor, if you will, amen. He was the leader of the sheep of the flock of Israel there. When it was all said and done, I believe Moses just laid down and went to sleep, amen. He just went to sleep. He found rest from his labor, amen, but he had no physical defects, amen. I don't believe he was, his body was ridden and eaten up with arthritis and cancer and so forth, but he was physically fit. He was in good shape for a man that had lived 120 years old, but he must, amen, pay the price, the consequence for the disobedience of God. But Moses, he couldn't go over with the rest of the children of Israel. And God said, this is as far as you go, Moses, and your time's up. Amen, it's time for somebody else to take it on. And beloved, Brother Vinoy is still a young man. He's got hopefully several more years here, amen, as your pastor at Bible Way. Amen. But there's going to come a time that he's going to go the last mile of his way. And always, God always has a Joshua. Amen. There's always a man who is up and coming and who God has his hand upon and who God's going to raise up to take Brother Vinoy's place. Amen. Not that he's replacing him, but there's a work that's going to still continue on. Amen. Here after he's gone. Amen. And there's always got to be somebody to take a hold of the check lines, amen, and lead the mules, amen. There's always somebody that's got to keep carrying on for Christ because we're not always going to be here, amen. So what about you, church, amen? The very Joshua, amen, was coming on after Moses may be sitting here tonight. Amen. He may not be. Amen. But there's a Joshua. There's a work that's got to go on and got to be done. Amen. After the man of God is taken off the scene. Verse number 8, we see his remorse. Amen. Or we see the remorse of Israel. It says that they wept 30 days. That was their custom. Amen.
And while they lived in murmurings and complainings against Him, amen, for over 40 years, beloved, they cursed Him, amen. They worshiped false gods. They were always contentious towards Him. They were never obedient fully. They were never fully submissive to the will of God, amen. They knew, I believe that's one of the reasons that they were weeping, amen, because of their disobedience, amen. And they never knew, and you've heard this said all your lives, amen, that God, amen, or that people, you never know how much you needed them, or you never knew how much they meant to you till they were gone, amen. And I see the children of Israel here weeping and sorrowful of heart, amen. Their conscience hurt. Because they knew they had disobeyed God. They knew they had disobeyed the man of God. We're to follow our pastor. Amen? He's not perfect. And he may not always be right. But he's in the position of authority over this local church. Amen? It's not the church's place to straighten out the man of God. But it's God's place to straighten out the man of God. Amen. If things ain't going right, pray for him. Amen. Don't run him down and don't, beloved, go and give a bad report. Amen. We never know what our pastor's facing. Amen. We're not to murmur and complain, but we're to follow in the footsteps of our leader. Amen. Verse number 9, the replacement of Moses. We know that Joshua, the son of Nun, he was full of the Holy Ghost of God. And he was led by the Spirit of God. And we must all that are saved, amen, if we're going to live a successful Christian life, we must be like Joshua, full of the Spirit of God. Amen? None of us are irreplaceable. Amen? None of us are irreplaceable. There's always somebody that's willing, Brother Jason, to take up the banner and march on for the glory of God. Amen? God don't need any of us tonight, church. But what a blessing, what an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to gather together and come and worship God, that God would still, amen, give us a desire to come to the house of God. That's a blessing, amen? For us to have a want and desire to be in church, amen? We visit churches all over the country, and you would not believe the churches that don't have Sunday night and Wednesday night service, amen? And me and my family, we're in a place that's unknown. Brother Vinoy, we're out trying on Wednesday night try to find church, drive around to five or six of them. They ain't even you can't even find a church. Amen. They've dropped the ball. Somebody has somewhere. Amen. And I mean, I'm not pastoring. I can't undermine Brother Vinoy's authority. That's not my job. Amen. But I can tell you that if you ain't having church, friend, something's wrong somewhere. Amen. Amen. I mean, there's problems, but beloved, there's always somebody there to carry on what God has. Lastly, tonight we see, amen, the remembrance of Moses in verses 10 through 12. And I wrote this down back when I was reading and studying. Look there in verse number 7, amen. It said that his eyes was not dim. I wrote this down, Moses died with a vision. Amen. Moses died with a vision. The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish, right? I don't think that only goes for the pastor, Brother Vinoy. Amen. If church, if we don't have a vision for sinners, amen, if we don't have a vision for Bible Way Baptist Church, if we don't have a vision for our pastor, if we don't have a vision for souls, missions, outreach, amen, we might as well just shut the doors and go home and quit, amen, because it's useless, amen. But even though that Moses was facing death, even though that Moses had come to the last mile of his way, amen, he still died with a vision he could still see, amen. God, help us to see. Help us to have a vision. God, don't let me die without a vision. Amen? Don't let me die blinded, amen, by this world and by my flesh and by sin. Help me to see the real thing. Amen? Help me to keep Christ number one. But notice in verses 10 through 12, that through Moses and by the hands of Moses, that we're to remember the terror of the Lord. Amen. We see the mighty hand of God working through Moses. In verse number 12 it says that, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Amen. God uses us as ministers of the Word of God, as preachers, pastors, evangelists, whatever you are, amen, Sunday school teacher, amen. God uses us to show that word terror don't mean that you get afraid and run away from, amen. That word terror means that it's a reverence term, amen. We're to humble ourselves and submit ourselves unto Him, but we know that God showed the terror of His hand through Moses, amen, at the crossing of the Red Sea, right? Amen. Exodus 10, verse 27, it says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let him go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more. Hey, Pharaoh was being real cocky and arrogant, right? Amen. He thought he had them licked. He was on their trail, amen. He had those chariots, those horsemen. He was after them, amen. But Moses said, that's all right, Pharaoh. You can go ahead and run your mouth, amen. But I'm not going to see you no more. Amen. And they cut a trail, friend. And God parted that Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground. Amen. You got some of these fools that says it really wasn't a Red Sea. Amen. It was some little branch or creek or whatever. It's like 6 inches deep. Amen. That's just more, shows me God's bigger and badder and better, amen, than what the Bible says. If that was really true, amen, if He could take all those hundreds of men and all those horses and drown them in 6 inches of water, that's a greater miracle, amen. Amen. People's ignorant, amen, when it comes to the Word of God, but we're to remember the terror of the Lord, amen. We're to remember that God is sovereign. He's all-powerful, amen. He's omniscient, all-power, all honor and glory belongs to Him. But notice there in verse number 10, it says that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, who knew the Lord face to face. Amen. Moses asked him, he said, just let me get one glimpse of you. Amen. He just wanted to just look upon Him. And God said, you can't look on me and live. He said, but get back in that rock. Amen. Get back in that cave. And He said, when I pass by, He said, I'll let you see my hinder parts. Amen. Thank God. And when He came down off the mountain, Brother Vinoy, He was glowing. Amen. He had to put a veil over His face and cover His face because the glory that was upon the Lord God Almighty was so bright and it was so wonderful. It came off of God and it went on to Moses, and even mankind couldn't even look on Him, for He had so much glory of God upon Him. And that was just His backside, friend. Amen. You think of how wonderful it is to stand face to face with God Almighty. There was not a prophet like unto Moses, whom God Himself knew face to face. I don't know about you tonight. I feel like that went over like a lead balloon. Amen. But when I've gone the last mile of the way, I want to see my Jesus face to face. Amen. I want to live a life that would be pleasing to God. And I want to be found laboring and working, not being lazy and slothful. Amen. And I want to try to win souls for the Lord. And I just ask you tonight, challenge your heart, challenge yourself, amen, to see whether or not we're going to end up like Moses, not getting blessings that we could have had because of disobedience. Loss of reward. Be ashamed before Him at His coming. I don't want that, Brother Vinoy. I want to end well. I mean, I want to live right, and I want to do right, but I want to die right. Amen? I want to be found serving Him when I've gone the last mile of the way. I'm done.